131. I want to just say I thank God for being here these couple of days and meeting this new brother here, Brother Jack. He big enough, ain't he? Amen. I'm glad I'm not that big. I'd already be in prison. Amen. If I was that big, I always thought, ask God, let me have a big body during the millennium. I knew some people I wanted to run around. Amen. Psalms 131. Sometimes maybe we can't help somebody, but I believe tonight that God would help some of these young preachers. If you'll listen, most of the stuff I preach, I've just experienced it. Not used much use really preaching anything myself, because I'm not that wise in the Bible, but I do like to preach what I've experienced. And when I got saved, I was a very hard person to tell anything. Convict boss couldn't tell me what to do. My dad never could tell me what to do. My mother could coach me into some things, but I was just a rebel. And I got saved. So God had a saved rebel on his hand. And you're the same way. If you wasn't, you wouldn't even be here. Amen. Dr. Ruckman said he gets disturbed about men teaching these kids the Bible. The thing that really disturbs me is them lying about it. When anybody walks up to them and asks them, mission boards and schools or anybody else, they said, "Why, man, we believe the Bible." Brother John went in a bookstore that's been in our city for, oh, maybe 35, maybe 40 years. He went there the other day and he said, "I'd like to get a King James Bible." The biggest bookstore there. They said, "We don't have one. We don't have one." They told one of my boys there, just got saved, they said, here's the best deal. And I told him, that's what they're going to tell him. He's crazy anyway. I mean, this Cajun just looked him right square in the eye and said, "Mister, I told you what I wanted. Do you have it or do not have it?" See, some of these old characters, that's the way they talk. Amen? But I thank God, but there's been a lot of confusion amongst independents, and the confusion is not caused by us. The confusion is, they said, "Well, we believe the Bible." A man stood in my pulpit. If I called his name, you'd faint. And he stood in my pulpit and said, in Luke 23, verse 39, that it says, "If thou be the Son of God, come down off that cross." But he said that, he said in the original, it says, "Since you are the Son of God, come down off that cross." We went to my home and I asked him again, an old man. I said, "Do you believe that Bible is the Word of God? And if you do, why was you corrected?" He said, "I believe that that King James Bible is the Word." I said, "You got me confused about what you believe." Now let me just say this. If that thief on that cross would have said, "Since you are the Son of God," he'd have got saved. According to what me and you believe. If he'd have recognized him as Christ, told the whole world and confessed him in front of them, he'd have got saved, wouldn't he? Would he not? Would he got saved? Ain't going to say nothing else about that. They're just liars. Mitigated liars. I had a boy to walk out of a school. He's never got over it. He's right there with me and he serves the Lord. But his mind is just a little bit disturbed. He'd been taught all of his life that the Bible was the Word of God until he got to school. And the man who runs that thing waves the King James Bible and said, "This is the truth." But the teachers don't teach that. That happened many, many years ago. Lord, my heart is not haughty. You said you're mad about that. You're right. I'll tell you what, I believe God gets tired of people lying. Why don't you just say what you believe? Just say what you believe. You know, you always jump up and prove it. It's what we believe. Say what you believe. Then act like you believe it. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor is mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. And some of you preacher boys here, you'll find out that there's some things about the King James Bible you haven't learned yet and you haven't experienced yet. You let Dr. Ruckman handle that. He can take care of it. He can take care of that. And God hadn't called you to do what He's called him to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Rest of you might well say amen. You might well say amen. Because see, you're just not smart enough to handle it. See, He is. So just let them handle it. Amen. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things that are too high for me. Surely I have behaved and I've quieted myself. That's what it says in 2 Peter 3:14. I've got some peace in here. I have behaved. I've learned how to behave in the house of God. Behave yourself. Brother Jim Vineyard came by one day, and some of his kids did, and they was going to sing there. And they were singing and done a real good job. So he just walked in the door and sat down. Well, I never met the man. I don't even know him. That's the only time I ever met him. I said, won't you just come up here and preach? I never seen the guy. I don't know what he believed. Still don't know. Never met him one time. He got up there and he preached. He started to walk over and sit down. And I said, had one person saved on Wednesday night. And I said, Dr. Vineyard? And he said, yeah. And he turned around. I said, you see them two people sitting right on the back row back there? And I couldn't even see them. I just knew they was there. And he said, yeah, I see them. I said, them two people are lost. Don't you think it'd be a good night for them to get saved? And him and I are talking. And he just kept talking to me, and I was talking to him, and they came forward. I said, Dr. Vineyard, you see them two people over there? And before Jim Vineyard walked out that door, seven people got saved on a Wednesday night. I mean, you know, you just let the pastor lead the church. He knows what he's doing. He knows who's there. You don't. One guy told me one night, he came up and preached, and he said, how many is lost? And about 20 people raised their hand on Wednesday night. He said, oh man, look at here, all these going to come forward. Man, you're talking about some snakes. We had shoveled them up out of the street. Amen. I mean, they had low down scum. Amen. And some of them got saved later. Amen. Yeah. Old man James Atwood, he was there. He said, you know, his nose that big around, if you stuck a pin, he just bled to death right there. You know? Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this guy said, Brother Wood, look at all the people raising their hand. I said, I know them, but be quiet. Then he said, Brother Wood, go back there and talk to them people and get them down here in the front. I just stood there. You'll tell me what to do in my church. Amen? Somebody threw a songbook while going to hit a little girl in the mouth. I wouldn't want you to do that. I don't care what you do here. Don't be throwing no songbook at me, wrap me upside of my head. I ain't got no sense nowhere. Yeah. Lord, my heart is not haughty. My eyes are lofty. Neither I exercise myself in these great matters. Surely I've behaved, I've quieted myself as a child. David said, I've become a child. And sometimes little children in the Lord become adults, they think. So they wear their daddy's boots. I used to put my daddy's boots on, it all was falling down. My little sister, she used to put my mother's high heels on in her dress and try to act like, and carried her down and tried to act like, but she wasn't a mama. She was just practicing up to be one. As a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul, even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth forevermore. I'd like to say this tonight to the young preachers here, and some of these old preachers, you can't help them no way. But maybe some of these young preachers, maybe you'd get this. I'd like to say this. There'll come a day and you'll leave here. Maybe some of this is your last year and you're going to leave here. Just go wherever you're going and just sit down and look around and get acquainted with what you're doing. A lot of people just run out and they said, oh, praise God, man. God told me this other day. This guy was going to France. He couldn't speak a word of French. He said, thank God this man's going out of our church. And next Sunday we'll have a church in France. Scratch my head and I look at this dummy. I said, man, that's quick. Amen? That's quick. But when you start to go somewhere, just find out what God wants you to do. Get it clear in your mind and be prayerful over what God's going to do and be cautious and just sit down and try to win some souls that little time. Just kind of observe everything before you get started. We was talking today, some of the folks from Texas, or maybe last night. Listen, them people out there in West Texas, you know, you drive up there. Somebody told me that there was 37 preachers went to Wyoming. And all 37 from every school came back. 37 of them. And I asked them, why do you think they come back? And I asked an old man out there. He said, these folks have fought this snow and this ice and these elements, and their grandfathers fought them Indians, and they didn't send for them preachers. And they ain't going to help you when you get here. In other words, man, you are on your own. So you go out there and make everybody mad in town, you in trouble. You say, I don't need them. We'll find out about that when you're packing your trailer after Dr. Ruckman raises an offering. Amen. Amen. You got to stay at what you start. You got to stay at it. I always hated a mobile home. Now, if you live in one, don't be offended. That's just me. That sucker's got tires on it. I mean, there's a lot of gypsy blood in me, and I'm saying, I'll hook up and move. So what I did, I never lived in no house trailer. Amen. I traveled them gypsies up and down. I painted everybody, cleaned their septic tanks and their purses and everything else. But listen to me. You got to stay at what you start. You listening to me now? Take a good look before you get started. A young man came to my church the other day. I was so impressed, I just took him on right then. He said, you know, God spoke to me while I was in Bible school that he wanted me to go to Japan. So he said, I started saving every dime I could get. And I got me some passage to Japan. He's not married. And he said, when I went to Japan, I worked over a year. I found out that's exactly what God wanted me to do. I've come back to America to raise the money to go to Japan. He said, I just knew in my heart I couldn't face the church if I, you know, went over in Japan. That wasn't where God wanted me. He said, I wanted to be sure he married one of Don Green's grandchildren. And he said, I just wanted to make sure that's where God wanted me. And he said, I've been over there working about a year. He got his money and he's getting ready to go. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. Just stay at what you start. Young people, listen to me. You leave here and you go to a country, don't be telling everybody what you believe. They don't care. Quit running around there trying to get in an argument with everybody over the Bible. All them apostates, leave them alone. I don't even speak to them. Are you listening to me? I don't speak to them. Brother Wood, have you ever spoke to Johnny Bassani just through a horn preaching? He heard us on the street, that's all. I don't speak to them people. What do I want to talk to? What have I gotten in common with them? The Second Baptist Church, this guy looks like drama. I think of a play every time I think of him. They don't have a songbook in the church, so you couldn't throw them. Some of you guys be out of luck. They got up on a screen. Got up on a screen, and people are just sitting there swaying like this in the Second Baptist Church. You won't just walk up and say, hey, dummy, wake up. Well, you're swaying like this and swaying like that. Hallelujah. You get a shout on, honey, you won't be swaying, you'll be running. Amen? Amen. But you go where God put you and just stay there and be steadfast and unmovable. And always find out what God wants you to do. Never been any doubt in my mind. I knew where God wanted me. Used to. You done everything right? Certainly not. That's why I'm preaching you tonight. Certainly not. You an example? Yeah. How to be a failure? Yeah. But you stay at what you start. And let me just say this, and I believe this with all my heart. The Bible said, surely I have behaved. If you learn how to behave, you're going to have to listen to somebody. As a kid, you got to listen to mama. My two sisters, my brother, listen to my mother, got saved as kids, spent her whole life in the service of God. I've got a sister who works with me now, 65 years old, and she just took a chaplain in the jail there in Houston. And she come to me and she said, are you going to Romania? And I said, yeah, I want to go with you. I want to go. She's always wanting to go somewhere. But see, she's been serving God for 50 years. She got a head start on me. She listened to her mother. And then she got a preacher. And she listened to her preacher. You'd think that Dr. Ruckman just coming here to blow your brains out with all the knowledge that you're going to feel. But some days you go back there in the office and say, Doc, what's the matter with me? He tells you. Oh, I don't believe that. We had a man, and I'm not going to call him, Dr. Ruckman knew him, probably one of the greatest singers that ever was. I hear him on tape before, and I've heard him on tape afterward. And there's a tremendous difference afterward. I don't even want none of them afterward tapes. It bothers me. But this man was not a preacher. This man was one of the great, he's dead and in heaven tonight, and this man was not a preacher. But he was always getting a tent and renting a tent and putting a tent up and doing something for God. God don't need you to do something for him. God needs you to do what he tells you to do. And God gave you a pastor. And the pastor said, now look, God, maybe God's not in this singing. Or maybe God's not in this preaching. I've told many a man, hey, God ain't never called you to do nothing. Well, how do you know, Brother Wood? Well, he ain't give you nothing to do it with. You ain't going to be no carpenter without a hammer. And you ain't going to be a preacher without some preach. Amen. I got a man in my church tonight, laying, dying tonight. I baptized him in 1960. And that man loves me with all his heart. But you can ask him out. All the preachers stand up. He stands up. He ain't never preached a sermon. But that thing plagued him. I believe God ain't never called him to do nothing. He's one of the best men in the church. Just a good fellow. Teaches Sunday school class. Wanting people to God. But that preaching bothered him so much. And finally he got out of that classroom. But listen to that preacher. I've seen good preachers and good singers stay out of the will of God. Because they wouldn't do what? Couldn't hear that preacher. The Bible does say, I believe it says, obey them and have rule over you. You say, nobody got no rule over me, that's your problem. If you don't learn nothing else in school, you better learn that. Woo-ee. Listen to those. Ignorance is a bad thing. I mean, I've been eat up with all my life. You know, it's bad. You know, there's two words. You know, there's two words in the English language. One of them is benefits. And the other is beneficial. And I get them two words mixed up all the time. I don't even use them. Because I'll just say one of them and it'll be the wrong one. You say, I don't understand it, but I don't either. But it's just locked up here. And them two words will not get correct in my mind. My wife said, I don't understand how that you speak one of them and it's always wrong. You're never right. I said, well, I'm guessing. She said, how come do you guess wrong every time? Amen? Amen? But you know, I had a pastor, and my pastor told me what to do, and I had a little problem with that. But finally, there come a day in my life, when I submitted myself to that pastor, and everything in my life and in my home changed. That's all I know. Now, you do what you please. You do what you please. Now, let me say the third thing. Keep your nose out of everybody else's business. There's a lot of things going around and a lot of things going on that ain't none of my business. Amen? I ain't be sticking my nose in your business unless you ask me. But a lot of people are just busybodies. Keep your nose. Dr. Ruckman said, I heard him say this one time. He said he knew five or six people here in this town that were on the shelf to never be used of God anymore. And he said every one of them was an authority on everybody else's business. You understand that? God does not need any busybodies. Most of it, keep your nose out of other people's business. Most of it ain't none of your business. Are you listening? Man run up to me one day and he said, did you hear about Jack Hiles' boy? I said, yeah, me and my wife both heard about it. We got down and wept about it. Hey. That mother held that boy in her arms. Isn't it strange when people don't agree with us just exactly like us? We're glad when something bad happens to them. I'm going to tell you something. If you like that kind of story, there's something wrong with your heart. Yeah. Jack Van Impe one time was sitting in Tennessee Temple at the table, and he said this. I'm just repeating him. And he said, you know what happened in the last church? And he started to tell some sordid story. And Lee Robinson snapped his finger and said, we don't need to hear it, and the faculty don't need to hear it. Please just lock that up. That's been years ago. He said, boy, I was miffed. He said, I went to the hotel, and he said, I finally got my mind together, and here's 35 teachers there, and I'm going to tell a sorry story of a man who fell into sin. And we act like we liked it and are glad that he did it. When there's a family hurting somewhere, and children hurting, and a church hurting. A moron that called me the other day and said, did you hear about this deal in Memphis? I said, sure, I heard about it. He said, well, what happened up there? I said, what does it make a difference? I just hung the phone up. I didn't tell him. I've done been there 6 times in the last 6 weeks trying to help that church. John's drove me through the night to get there to Memphis. That little church is struggling and dying. Our preacher's gone. Our preacher's been shot down. And some other preachers sitting around the country enjoying it. If you enjoy that kind of stuff, man, you're sick. You are sick. Amen? Hey, young preacher! Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in that. I believe the King James Bible. It says if there's anything pure, lovely, you know, holy, just, whatever, thank you on these things. Get your mind on the right thing. Get your mind out of everybody else's business. It's none of your business. Sometimes you don't have the facts. Yeah. I've noticed that even in a car wreck. I've noticed that in a robbery. Here comes two guys out. One of them's 5'4", another 5'3", and he got a machine gun. Brrr, 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 and he's running around shooting at everybody. And they said, how tall are you? And one guy said, he was 6'3". I saw him. The other guy was 6'8", and they looked like Mickey Mouse, both of them. But I'm going to tell you, one of them Mach 10 makes them look real tall, you know? You understand what I'm talking about? Hey, man, you just don't have the facts. I keep looking at these lights. I feel like I'm in one of them police lines. I don't know what in the world is going on there. This Bible said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. In other words, David was saying, I'm not qualified to handle some matters. And there's some things that you and I are not qualified to handle. Amen. Is that correct or incorrect? I wonder if some of you old preachers would say amen. Did you ever have anybody to walk in your study and lay out something in front of you and boy, just so bad, you didn't know what to do? And you said, could you excuse me a minute? Did you ever walk into the telephone and call another preacher and that you knew, an older man that really knew God, was educated in that manner, and sit there and talk to him and ask him what to tell them people? I have. Is that a weakness? I'm a dummy, I don't know what. But I've seen some people say, hey man, that house is awful. I got a man who builds for me. I never told this man nothing. Why? Because he's 25 times smarter than me. And he ain't never told me nothing about the Bible. And so I never tell him nothing about building that building. Build it. I'll preach in it. That's good enough for me. Please tonight, please, young preacher, keep your nose out of other people's business. And you'd be surprised what a blessing it'll be to your wife. I'm going to say this so quiet. A preacher one time told his wife, we've been friends for years and years. And he told his wife, said, I really don't believe he's a man of God. He got to picking about some things, and he didn't have to look far to find them. And then he started on another man. And for some reason or other, God had let that woman believe in us, and she always had troubles about her salvation and everything. And finally, she looked her husband right square in the eye, and she said, well, if them ain't God's men, I don't guess there is any. And that woman is still having trouble 20 years later. Mental problems over who is God's man. You might finally keep talking, man, and keep reading them little magazines you get and everything. You just keep reading them, and finally you'll convince them children ain't nobody knows God but you. And then they'll finally find out about you. I got 5 boys and 3 girls. I told them that's God's man. I said, you see, Jack Hyde, that's God's man. You see that man? He's God's man. Hey, there were some things when I differed, I had no problem talking to my church about it, but I left these names. I wanted my children to know that there was some heroes and there was some giants and some champions. Hey, man, if we kill all the champions, then our children have got nobody. Better be careful, man. Please, don't get involved in things too deep for you. My heart's not haughty. In other words, I don't have this old pride. My eyes is not looking up at where I'm going to sit, you know, what throne I'm going to sit on. And I'm not going to exercise myself in matters. It's too high for me. Young man, I got a boy that's been with me for 15 years. I love him. He thinks he's my boy. We have some kind of little old business deal around there, and he just comes in for his inheritance right there. I mean, he's different. He's a great big old boy, weighs about 260. But he thinks he's my boy. But he likes a couple of fish, you know, having a string. You've met them kind of fella. I mean, really, John, the boy just really, really absolutely slow. And so the other night he come in and he said, "Preacher, I went over from this guy and asked him to go over and give me that German account of all them little, what do you call them, John, nursery rhymes? I'm telling you, this boy's slow, man. This boy had too many blood vessels going to his brain. And they had to operate on this boy. And they had to give him all that old medicine. He took it for years. But when he operated, everything quieted down. And he's got a lovely wife that loves the Lord. I mean, God gave him a choice girl. This boy's a little slow. So he got up the other night and he said, "All right, turn in your Bibles over here." And he turned over in his Bible, the book of Luke. And he preached to this great crowd of people on the three little pigs. You said, "What in the world did he say?" He said, "One of them built his house out of sticks." He said, "One of them wasn't very cautious about the way he built his house. One of them wasn't very careful about what he was doing." And he went right on down the line. And finally, he got that one pig, you know, and he got that wolf coming down that chimney. He said, "Here's a man that built his house on the rock. He was ready when the devil come." And gave invitation. Six people got saved. You said, "I'm going to go out here and I'll start me a Bible institute and I'll be just like Peter Rook." You can't handle it, man. You can't handle it. I used my son-in-law to do that. He went to college and seminary and all that kind of stuff. So I just used him to do all that. Amen. You said, "Brother Wood, aren't you a theologian?" I can't even spell it. Can't even spell it. Amen. Don't get involved in things too deep. Listen, you're not mentally able to handle it. Oh, you hurt my pride. I know it. That's why that says right there, my heart is not haughty. Neither is my eyes lofty. In other words, I can't handle it. Are you getting this? You're not spiritually able to give the advice that you're giving. Young preacher, listen. You want some help tonight? You're not educationally capable of straightening out things. So why don't you just leave it alone? Why don't you just get right here in the school here and learn something about the Bible and walk out on these streets and learn something about people? You know, I learned something. Dr. Ruggman, this thing, it just come to me like a flood, you know. If I take a man and put him on a route selling peanuts, clothes, whatever, it does something to help that man down the road for God's work. You put him on that route, and he walks in there, he's handling work clothes, and he takes him work. "You didn't bring mine." So he learns not to smart off and start a fight. That he's working for a company, he's representing somebody else. And every man, I can name five of them that are on the mission field tonight, five of them work for Carl Wright, who's a member of my church, has a uniform in it. And every man that works for him has made a top end for God. They worked there 2 or 3 years, took some Bible, learned how to handle matters, how to handle men, how to sell clothes and what have you. I got a lot of men that just have to, because they work full time in them jail, they have to peddle something. So I buy every month I buy $15,000 or $20,000 worth of some kind of merchandise for them to peddle. So they peddle it, so they all right. I walked in a place the other day and I said, "How you getting on?" The guy said, "Fine." I said, "How much owe you?" He said, $15,000. I said, "Come pay." Because this guy won't take nothing but cash. I like the sound of that, cash. Johnny Cash, you know, cash. But anyway, I had $15,000. I told John, I said, Payne. And he said, I'll tell you what to do. Well, John, this is what he said. He said, you take that $15,000 down there, come in, preacher boy, need a couple hundred, give it to him. He gave us that $15,000. First time anybody ever done me like that. But I mean, you know, first time, second time, and third time, that's wonderful. Amen. And so I ain't never told nobody to church that. See, I just kept them in my pocket. Another day, this guy called me and said, how much money you owe me? And I told him, he said, would you give Mark Lando $5,000 of it? You see Mark Lando down the trail, ask him. I said, sit down here, Mark. He said, I give him $50, $100 bill. You didn't write him a check? No, he didn't want no check. He need cash. That old man told me to give it to him. And so, you know, like that brother said, just let it come right on through your hands, right on into the Word. And you know what I'm saying? But if you get weighted down with that stuff before you know it, you'd be overbalanced. I mean, I'm just trying to say, now, don't get involved in things too deep for you. You're not mentally able to go. Now, let me give you something else, please, if you will. I'd like to say this as an illustration. You're not mentally, you're not spiritually, you know. One day we started to start a mission board, 25 years ago, I guess. And it was a Mexican mission board. It's still intact today. And so when they got the board, it was all Mexican preacher and what have you. And one boy that I took, he was a Mexican. And he said, I would like to be on that board. I looked at him. I mean, his name was Ignorant. That was his boy. He didn't know nothing. But he won't be on that board. And here's all these old men that built churches, proved themselves. Won hundreds of men to Christ. But this young man finally said, got up and said, if you're not going to let me be, I'm going home. He left. I scratched my head and they said, preacher, would you like to be on this mission board? And I said, certainly not. I ain't no Mexican. What am I going to be on Mexican mission board for? I'm going to be on it. My name on nothing. Somebody like to see that and find me. I'm going to be there. I'm on that thing. Not interested in that. And I've supported that board and helped them preachers all through the country. I was asking, I asked a guy a question. I asked Homer Smith the other day. I said, Homer, I want to ask you a question. How many missionaries does your church, not the board, how many other missionaries besides your missionaries y'all support? And he said, 57%. He told me this week. He said, we give 43%. To our missionary, we give 57% to other missionaries. So I asked my wife that day. I said, I've been a director of that word for the world, but I said, how much do we? She said, we give about 10 or 15% to word for the world, and the rest of it goes everywhere. I heard a man, a big BBF man, say, a guy asked him the question on the forum. He said, would you support anybody that wasn't under your board? He said, would you support somebody else's wife? I don't think we're discussing the same thing. We're not discussing the same thing. A guy comes by my house and they call me, so I'm with BIMI. I said, do you believe the Word of God? You believe the King James Bible Word of God? And I got three or four other questions I ask him. And when they get over, then I really ask him, amen? I've never turned down anybody, I remember. How come you don't turn down? You got a class on Brother Wood. I don't let them preach. If I let everybody preach, I would never get a chance to preach, man. There's always a missionary there. If you come by Houston, I'm going to take you in there and try to encourage you to go live for God. I don't care who you are. My missionary. Where did you get that word at? You ain't got no missionary. God's man. So now this church. Quit talking about things that you don't know nothing about. You say, that sure is practical. Sure is hard to do, though, ain't it? I think we're all guilty of this. Just talking about things we don't know nothing about. Did you ever notice now in America, they said if he would have put this man in and pulled him out of the football game, look what they would accomplish. Who cares what they accomplished? Who cares, man? My soul. Don't I just hear people... I won't listen to a talk show. That's a hang-up of mine. I hate them. God knows I hate them. What do you think about this? Who cares what that moron thinks about it? Huh? Who cares? Asking people all up down the road. People calling in. I don't believe that you should preach on hell and fire and brimstone. Who cares what you think, monkey? God said, preach it. Preach it. Jesus preached it. They said, you ought to love people. Some people I preach to, I hate them. God knows that's the truth. Boy, I got some church members I despise. But what's that got to do with it? They hate me. What's that got to do with it? They love the Lord. They love that church. They love souls. Now, I don't care. Hate me all you want to. I got ladies that don't even speak to me. I wish their husbands did. And what's that got to do with it? Hey, man, we opened the doors. We have come to church. We come here to serve God. Love you. I love you. Oh, baloney, man. Who cares about all that junk? Quit talking about things that you know nothing of. And you know, sometimes, missionary, you're going to go out of here, young preacher. You're going to go out of here. And you'll go to a church. And you'll see things that you don't like. And before you get out of town, you done been gone 2 or 3 weeks to your other churches. And that church gets right with God and corrects those things. And you're going down the road telling what's wrong with them. And they done corrected it. They done corrected it. They done got right with God. They're in revival. And you're getting more bitter and bitter and bitter as you go down the road. Churches change. Situations are corrected. I've had problems. You know, I'd put people in a home and I'd have a little problem there, you know, and I'd correct it. Situations get corrected. People get right with God. Heard a man get up one time and he said, you know, I was in his church about 25 years ago. He said, a man had stole the mission money and spent it on himself. The girl bowed her head, sitting up here in the front, about 28, 30 years old, and began to weep. The old preacher walked up and said, little lady, stand up. He said, that was her daddy. He said, stand up, little lady. And that little girl stood up. He said, sir, that was her daddy. I said, her daddy paid every dime of that money back. And her daddy died with cancer here just a while back, right with God. You even got to be careful about illustrations you use. Billy Connoy was preaching up here in a big camp, and he told about a preacher falling into sin, what happened, everything. And a preacher boy and his wife came walking down the aisle. She said, Dr. Connoy, you shouldn't have used that illustration. She said, that brought back some awful memories. She said, that was my daddy. You better be careful. We just trying to get loose with stuff. I said, quit talking about things you don't know nothing about. A lot of people just come to me all the time and say, Brother Wood, have you heard what this man has done? A man told me one time, I mean a man looked me right dead in the eye in Maryland, looked me right dead in the eye, and he said, do you know that Dr. Ruttman is 79 years old? It's been 10 years. He said, he is 79 years old. And said, you know, they tell me, Brother Wood. He said, they tell me, Brother Wood. And there's 40 preachers. And he's just talking. Boy, he went all the way through this man's life and everything. And talking about things. It wasn't even the truth. It wasn't the truth. I said, sir, you know what you're talking about? And finally, I said, sir, you're ignorant. I don't have any problem with that. But you know, sometimes suckers ignorant. Just let him be ignorant still. I mean, quit talking about, and then just if you could get this in your mind, surely I have behaved. I've quieted myself. That looks like that God had put some things in his man's life that he had to deal with. You said, God dealt with it. No. God told him to deal with himself. And this man quieted himself in the Lord's work. A nervous person makes me nervous. You know, I used to have a guy, and he'd run around, he won't give everybody a drink of water, you know, anymore. And finally, boy, he got me, I'm eating my fingernails. I said, I'm going to either get him some Valium, or I'm going to die. You got to remember that you ain't nothing. You got to remember you ain't nothing. I quieted myself as a child. Hey, David didn't say, hey, man, I'm speaking. I'm the guy that whooped the giant. I whooped the lion. I whooped the bear. And I am now writing the word of God. No. He said, hey, God give him enough cave experiences. And let me tell you something. If you can't quiet yourself, God's got a cave for you, boy. He ain't going to take you out there and desert you. He's going to take you out there and teach you something. He gonna take you out there and put you in training and let you sit there about 5 or 6 years where everybody even forgets your name. I remember down in them South American jungles, riding through them jungles on a little horse and traveling 40 and 50 miles. I remember I rode a horse from the Pilcomayo River in Argentina all the way across the Chaco of Paraguay into Brazil. A little horse! Now you get you about 20 oxen and them walking just like this here. And you won't be near big a hurry after about 3 years as you was. I had a big old whiskers all over my face, hadn't bathed or shaved, none, there wasn't no water. And I was coming across that place, and wasn't nothing. There was one Mennonite colony, and I stopped and got something to ice cream, sit on a curb, mate. We sweated, dirty, filthy, had a troop of horses and some steers. I was coming across there, rode up there, and there was a girl out of South Carolina, she's washing some clothes on a mission station. She looked up at us, and I'm telling you, them five guys with me, they looked like desperados first class, and I looked like their cousin. I had this old hat pulled down my eye and guns all on us and everything. We was in the Indian country. And when I pulled up there, it was back in the early 60s, and this girl looked around at me, and she said, I asked her in Spanish where her husband was, and she said, he'll be back in just a minute. He's gone. That man was gone. And I looked down, and I said, little girl, in English, I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? She said, cowboy, I don't know who you are, but these are the sweetest words I've ever heard. She thought we was 5 or 6 desperados just riding through there. Well, I'm telling you, but God quieted me on the back of that horse. All I knew to do was attack. I used to preach on when David pulled out of the Southern Baptist Convention. Take his sword and cut everybody's head off. Now, preached on when he pulled out. They left one guy he didn't kill, and he repented of that. Remember that? Said, I ought to have killed him back there. And he said he wouldn't have stewed on them men. Remember, you ain't done. Quit telling people how smart you are. You already know better. Quit using your mouth. Start using your brain. That's a real help. It's a real help. He said, well, I'm like you, Brother Wood. I ain't got much brains. Do like that old boy to preach on the three pigs. You'd be better off. Well, I'm telling you, he got up here, was it New Year's night? And preached on Little Red Riding Hood. Well, I tell you what, I got a blessing out of it. He ain't smart enough to preach nothing else. He just took that thing and said, she went in there and said, Grandma! And he said, she knew that was the wolf. But she wasn't cautious enough. She knew that was the wolf. And you know, many times we know it's the wolf. And we know he'll eat us up. But we're not cautious enough. And we get closer and closer. And he said, now the old German version says, the wolf ate him. But the new translation says, I mean, it just went over great. Then he got one on the gingerbread. He's preached every one of them fairy tales. Every one of them. Some of us has preached some fairy tales and didn't even know it. Amen. Yeah, he knew it. Remember, you don't get nothing. You ain't nothing. You just tell everybody. So pious. I want you to know I'm nobody. And they say, yeah, I know it. You say, shut up, that's God. I'm just smart. You. We have this religious deal. We come down and said, you know, I want you to pray for my. I believe he's the meanest church in the meanest kid in the church. And the lady said, he really is. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know what I saw yours doing? Remember, you ain't nothing. Can I close with this? Keep in the mind that the work of God is everything. You don't understand why men are doing this or why men are doing that, but you just keep in mind. Nathan Bedford Forrest, a fellow named Farmers, here a while back, sent me a big copy of Nathan Bedford Forrest. I enjoyed that thing. And I wrote him, told him, I said, that's one of the best books I ever read on that general, Nathan Bedford Forrest. He is the first president of the Ku Klux Klan. May God raise him from the dead. But, I've been thinking about taking on a guy up here in Tennessee, up there in prison. Dr. Ruppman mentioned today. take him on for support. Keep in mind, the work is everything. Nathan Bedford Farsham was fighting over here around Lafayette, Georgia. And he saw this young man who, with that cannons, he just wasn't good enough with them cannons. And he had a man who was just an expert with him. And he changed this lieutenant who was on his in his command. He changed him and said, "Son, we want somebody else to take your place." And this guy took it as a direct insult. And he went home. And he went home. He just went there in the army, went over his stuff, and picked up his gun, and walked in there and shot Nathan Bedford Forrest. Nathan Bedford Forrest grabbed that wound because that guy had a single shot gun. He opened that knife with his mouth and killed one of his own men. That boy died just within my. And they thought Nathan Bedford Forrest was going to die. Had a whole blow come through him. That boy tried to kill the commander, and the commander had to kill him because he'd have killed him. And he knew it. If you ever reload that gun, he's dead. He knew it. So he did what he had to do. But that boy thought that he insulted him because here I'm somebody. I'm a lieutenant in Nathan Bedford Forrest's command. You better keep this in mind. The work and what you're doing is more important than you. A young man down in Mexico, a little Bible Institute we've had something to do with ever since it started. We supported our church, sends $1,000 a month out of this work we've been doing. We start out with 50 and got up to 100, and then after about 20 years, we support this because it's a Bible school for preacher boys, and only the pastors there in Mexico, only the nationals teach. We don't want none of them gringos giving them nothing. You said they need all this learned stuff. No, they don't. They're getting a job done. We just finished a building down at Dr. Upman. They seat 1,000. I'm seeing God do something extra I've never dreamed of. I just preached in a church down there. Brother John, you drove me down there. And this church seated about 1,500 or 1,600 people. I've never seen it. I never dreamed there was even a church in Mexico that big. I'm trying to tell you tonight, the work is everything. This missionary boy, well, he went to Mexico and he got down there and he didn't work out. Usually nowadays, it's just, you know, one man thinks this, and this man here, he's been there 28 years, and he thinks this, and he don't know what he's doing. And so I said to the young man, why don't you just go over yonder somewhere in the country and start your work? So he's found about 15 or 20 disgruntled people, and he took them 15 or 20 disgruntled people over and started a church with them, and run the van right in front of the little Calvary Baptist Church in Monterrey, Mexico, and picked up a load of people. I told this missionary, I said, you know, I'd hate to go to the judgment seat of Christ. I watched God build 46 or 47 works out of that work right there. There's 46 or 47 independent churches that had been built by Sonny Fritz and his son-in-law, Ruben Murillo. I said, I'd hate to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And God said, you are the one that destroyed it. You listening to me? I don't destroy the work of God. Not even when my feelings is involved in it. A man called me here a while back and he said, preacher, we need about $35,000, and God let me raise that money. And one of my men had built that radio station, and all day long that gospel's going out in San Antonio on that Christian radio station. And I had raised that 30-something thousand, another 10,000 another time. So I'd raised about 40-something thousand, and one of my men built the whole rest of built every tower. Put them 6 towers up there. And something went wrong. And he said, well, it don't belong to that independent church. It belongs to us. I told those Mexicans, I said, you know, I believe that God would have us tell nobody about this. Just back off and let them have it. Because, you know, they're preachers. And they're going to tell people how to be saved. And so why don't we just rejoice in them getting people saved? That's what we want to do anyway. All we want to do, I didn't want to run no station. I don't want to own no station. I ain't fooling with that electricity. I'm telling you, I ain't got sense enough to fool with it. I ain't messing with it. I'd burn the place up. Don't mess with that thing. Let them mess with it. No! Ego said, destroy it! I'm not touching that radio station. God's people gave their money. steal me out. Now, I owe this director of this radio station a punch in the nose, and I'm going to give him that. He's got it coming. I've got a man in my church, 37 years ago, I baptized him. And he said that I'd done so bad to this man had a heart attack. And me and this man, all these years we've been together, and everybody thinks we're brothers. We think alike, we walk alike, we act alike. And me and this man has never, in 37 years, had a cross word, not one. He's called me twice since I've been away from Houston. So he had a four-way bypass. He had a heart attack last year. So this preacher, boom, no pain. I hope the Lord lets me live long enough pain. But he's about my age, you know, I can handle him 63. And he runs all the time. He doesn't run himself to death. And I've been resting. Amen. You got to keep in mind, the work is more important than you and I. But if you're not careful, you don't care nothing about the work. I've seen preachers just stay with the work till it died, and it died, and you just sigh for it, and it died. And finally, three people are there, and they said, bless God, I'm going to stay here till the end. Cowboy, when you get on three, you're about to end. Amen? You want to learn something, preacher? God's brought you to this place. Just stay. The smartest men that I've ever met in my life, were real good listeners. My daddy said, son, you want to learn something about the mule business? I said, yeah. He said, open your ears. My daddy could tell you just about the time that horse was born. I'm telling you, that old man knew something about it. He wasn't looking how pretty he was or how fat he was. He wanted to see what was wrong with him. I mean, he went over him with a scope, and he said, Jack, listen. I'd get to run in my mouth, you know. Learn to listen. Let's pray. Got to learn to listen. Been great wars lost overnight because some general wouldn't listen. Been great churches destroyed because men wouldn't listen. There have been great missionary programs totally destroyed because men wouldn't listen. 4 or 5 years, you've been here maybe 2 years or 3 years in Bible school, and you're probably as bigger now than you'll ever be in your life. You'll find out, me and you ain't nobody. I'm just trying to help you, young man. You're a young preacher here tonight. We're trying to help you. Please remember, the work of God is more important than you and I. And God didn't send you out with a 24-pound sledgehammer to destroy the works of God. God sent you out to help people. God didn't send you out to hurt anybody or to teach to hate anybody. God sent you out to do a job. May you keep your mind clear and remember this verse of Scripture and mark in your Bible, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. I'm not looking for anything up there. Neither do I exercise myself in things too high for me. Let somebody handle it that knows what they're doing. God bless this message tonight. Speak to these young preachers and may the will of God be done in their lives. Maybe there's somebody here that's never been saved. You deal with them. But, oh God, tonight we've preached to these young preachers. We pray for help, Lord. Help these young men. They've come for help. They wouldn't be here if they didn't want help. Help them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand, please.
Stand, sing number 45, invitation number 45. Get on the stand, say, well done. 45.
Young man, find your place. Let God speak to you, young man. Young lady sitting beside of him. Listen tonight. God speak to your heart. Don't exercise your mind up there. Get it down here in the book. Leave everything alone. Young man walked up to me the other day and he said, "Hey, Jack." I never said a word to this young man. He was a preacher. He'd been studying the Bible for 2 years. I sure do like that word, Brother Jack. I thank God for old Daddy Marshall. Taught me reverence for God's man. Might not have done nothing right, but I'll tell you one thing, I left God's people alone. A guy told me one night, I said, "I want you to go down to that church with me. I got a safe. I done took it out of there. I got out in the back." I said, "Deal me out, man." I was already in my truck, man. We was going to haul his safe off. He didn't have a truck. He said, "Man, I done got it out of this big Lutheran church." I said, "Man, I ain't going. I ain't going, man." I get back in my truck. I was scared. I got back in my truck and run off and left this sucker. I was scared. I ain't going in God's house tiptoeing out. Man, I didn't know whether God might live in there. I didn't know. I didn't know. Mama just always acted like he did, you know. I never in my life heard my mama ever bring a preacher's name. Nobody. My daddy wouldn't. She'd say, "Jack, let God have mercy. Let the dead rest." She don't talk about nobody. Talk about preachers sit around my table. My boy asked me the other day, 23 years old. He said, "Daddy, what's wrong with that man?" I said, "What man?" "Man that fell into sin." He said, "So-and-so, you know, they're all talking." I said, "Son, I don't know nothing about it. Because you know what? I didn't. I didn't see it." He said, "Well, his wife said." I said, "You can't believe everything people say." "Is he his wife?" I said, "She might have lied. Wonder if they gave her a lie detector test yet. You tell me a man of God fell into sin, I'm going to have more proof than somebody said." Brother Rung, will you sing just one other verse for me, please?
I can stand.
Why don't you come tonight? Just pour that old bitterness and ugliness out. Let God, hey young man, young man, let God speak to you. Come on, young man, come on. See people coming. God dealing with hearts. Could I pray with you just a moment? Could you have every head be bowed? Sinner friend, you could come to Christ tonight. He's real. I've preached to God's people and told God's people how a Christian ought to live. And if you're not saved, you totally agree with me. If you're not saved, you said, "That's right, Brother Wood. Christians ought not be talking about other people and getting involved in hammering away at people and destroying the work of God." Yeah, you'd say that. If you're unsaved tonight, you believe that. It's hard to get God's people sometimes to believe, sinner. If you'll put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save you tonight. He's a merciful, wonderful Savior. He'll save your soul tonight. Write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life and give you a wonderful life if you'll follow Him. And my preacher friend, young boy, I sat one time in the school right where you're sitting, uneducated, ill-mannered, didn't have any sense at all. But I'm going to tell you something. I met an old man of God a long time ago. He helped me. He set me down in my fury and my anger. And he said, "Jack, that won't work." In And on this before the Lord in heaven tonight, 3 weeks before Brother Olaf died, he said, Jack, I've watched you all these years. And I know you've been down trying to win him into God. He said, I want you to go look for a building, and we're going to buy it. I said, Brother Olaf, there's nothing in this town cheap. I said, the cheapest building in this town would cost $1 million. He said, you never would listen. He said, you listen to me, boy. I told you I'm going to get you a building. I knew in my heart that God wasn't in it. I knew God wasn't in it. I was sending a girl down there that was in trouble. I knew God wasn't in that. I went on to Mexico, and my wife called me down in the interior, down there preaching. Couldn't get a plane. I was about 2 hours late for the funeral. But that old man of God, he said, you know, preacher, he said, we ought to go back out there at Lexington, kneel down that old deep sand, maybe rededicate our life. That's the last thing I ever heard him say. Ought to go out down that old sand, that old watermelon field, rededicate our life. That old man talked about knowing God and loving God and walking with God. You'd bring some preachers up that done something, but he just changed the subject. He won't talk about that. He never talked to me about nobody. I gave him that great message he had, because he got the message. I just gave him the outline. I heard a black man preach on, and the mule walked on in the Waxahachie jail. And I gave him that thing, and he said, where'd you get that? I said, that black man said in 2 Samuel XV 3:9 verses in the beginning, and the mule walked on. And I gave him the outline that this old man, and we was going to Garland, Texas, to Brother Jack Howell's church there. And Brother Olaf got up at the big premillennial fellowship and preached that night. I was with him. Man, we had a time. He got that mule to walk. Well, I'd got it from a black man. I gave it to him. Why don't you try to help somebody? You don't have to stick an arrow in them, a knife in them, kill them, degrade their character, their names. We're all going to the judgment seat, friend. Young preacher boy, you remember, the easiest thing you can do is talk about somebody instead of telling God how wicked you are. Father, we commit this all unto Thee and pray that You'll help some young man here tonight. Thank God, Lord, for we've seen Brad and his wife here tonight. Her daddy heads up all of our work in the rescue mission work. Dear God, we thank You they're here in school. First 2 weeks they've been here and going to do something for God. I pray You'll bless their life and use them in the service of God. We thank You that it's in this kind of school. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, it's over now. Now you know why they call it a bad attitude Baptist blowout. You've got a bad attitude about a lot of things. And we'll keep it that way, too. And I'd like to go on here. We got to say goodbye now for a while. And I see a lot of familiar faces here I don't see from time to time. And glad you decide to drop by for a few days and say hello. And don't meet you again, we'll meet you in glory. And Brother Wood has preached a specialized message tonight now. He's got a burden about a certain thing. And I'll just say right now, I'll say amen to everything you said tonight. Whatever you said tonight, you amen. Amen. I don't talk to you about those things, but I talk to you about them once in a while. I tell you, young fellas studying here, when you go out, don't start talking about no women in heaven and blood-sucking angels from Jupiter, you know. I mean, get on soul winning and get on prayer and get on the Bible, and they don't always follow my advice. Now, I told you fellas 100 times when you go out here, don't start roaring around and saying, this is the King James Bible, anything else a heresy or a heretic. I'll load you so if the crisis comes, you can face it, but you don't invent crises. And some of the fellows go out here, they don't take that advice either. They prayed around, you know, and try to be the professor. Like, a lot of fellows used to go to J. Frank Norris' school, and they get out and try to be like J. Frank Norris. You can't be like J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris had fired a deacon board of 23 deacons in one night and got away with it. You're going to find it more difficult than that. Now, he's giving you some real good advice. Stick with what you know and stay away from what you don't know. Did you ever hear me give you a lecture on how to fix an automobile? Did you really? Hit it with a hammer, man. I know nothing about it. Now, you've been talking to mainly students tonight. We've got a lot of folks who aren't students, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. But you young men needed this now. You needed it. And Brother Wood, now, he's connected with missions. He had to deal with a lot of young men preparing for the field, and he's seen a lot of blowouts. And that's why he talked to you the way he talked to you. And I'm sure he told you the truth. All right, now, let's before we leave tonight, let's sing number 60. And in case we don't ever meet again, then we'll meet you in the morning. And if I die before you die, I'll meet you. And if you die before I die, well, we'll still meet each other. And if the Lord comes before we all die, that'll be even better. And we'll all get together up there someday like we are now and everybody else and have us a camp meeting and really get going. And I appreciate whoever threw that songbook and stuck in that tile up there if you get a ladder and get that thing down. And I'm sorry if somebody got hit with the songbook tonight. It only gets bad when it gets thrown in chairs, Brother Wood. That's when it gets bad. And let's sing number 60. I'll meet you in the morning. And if you're saved, now you'll be able to sing this. If you're saved, you'll be able to sing this. All right, let's sing. I will meet you in the morning by the bright river side, when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals where the gates open wide, at the close of life's long, dreary day. I'll meet you with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river, anew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear, when I meet you in the morning, in that city that's built for square.